What's happening, everyone? Kieran Ben back again. This week we're going back in time. We are going to be covering Diablo Cody's Jennifer's Body. This was released like 08-09, I believe. Very fun, very silly film. We are also going to be covering later her newer one, Lisa Frankenstein. So it's going to be kind of a little Diablo Cody week. But Ben, I know I have suggested these movies this week. So kind of tell me your history with Jennifer's Body.
I had never heard of either one of these films, and I was like intrigued because stuff like that, like, you know, new movies always intrigue me.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So obviously we're going to cover Jennifer's Body. This movie was not critically well received when it had first come out. Now is kind of getting a resurgence. People are kind of seeing the greatness of it. And that's something I want to talk about later, too, when we kind of next week when we talk about Lisa Frankenstein, because I feel like that's going to kind of have the same impact. I feel like Diablo Cody, sometimes her movies are a little hard to swallow right out the gate, and then time happens and then everyone's like, oh my god, we love them. So Jennifer's Body was not critically well received, but it has kind of garnered this like almost cult following, I would say. I saw this film in theaters and I loved it, and then I remember one of my friends did not like it, and her and I, we kind of had this conversation about it. I think it's a lot of the language. I think the language that she uses can be a little difficult because it's so kooky.
Oh yeah, I thought the movie was fun. I watched it and I was laughing. I thought a lot of it was like hysterical. I mean, it hit on some stuff that was kind of like, you know, back then, I guess, like a little racy, but I thought it was great. I was like, yeah, that's right, do that.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the killing the boys, right?
Well, yeah, I was like, oh, all right. I mean, it was good. I thought it was really good.
Agree. I thought it's so good. So it follows the story of two girls, Jennifer and Needy. Jennifer is played by Megan Fox. Needy is played by Amanda Seyfried. And it kind of follows this kind of like toxic best friendship that they kind of have, where we see Jennifer kind of walking all over Needy. Jennifer is very beautiful. She's on the cheerleading team. Everyone loves her. She's homecoming queen or snowflake queen or winter wonderland queen. I don't know. One of those queens.
She's a queen.
She's a queen. And everyone loves Jennifer, and Needy's kind of like pushed off to the side. She's like a little bit more quiet. She's a little nerdy. She plays she's in the band. She's like, I would say mousy. Is that how?
Yeah, 100%. She's like her protege, sidekick.
Yeah.
You know, the one that she can push around and like, you know, do whatever she wants to. But she says it's out of friendship.
Out of friendship. Yeah. And you can kind of see that like when they're talking about like being like sandbox love and like how it started, and you see Jennifer just kind of like outwardly start like bullying Needy. So it follows their friendship. The movie begins and Needy is actually in a psych ward, and she is known as a kicker. We see her brutalizing the staff inside, and she's very upset. She's put in solitary, and we kind of have this backwards story of how she got there and what kind of events led her to there. They live in this small town, and a big city band comes to this small town, and madness ensues after that. So okay, let's talk about this. Do you believe in the devil?
I believe in good and evil. I believe that there are higher powers that I don't know about. I don't know if it's the devil. I don't know. But I do know, I do like the yin and the yang in the world. I do believe that there is an evil force and a good force.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that. And I was actually having this conversation last week, unrelated to this. We had not selected the movies at the time, but I was talking about how I had just seen Immaculate and how I'm very excited for First Omen to come out. These are both movies set, they're like nunsploitation films set around nuns getting pregnant and like the horrors that come along with that in a supernatural sense. But in regards to the devil, I was saying how can I believe in the existence of evil if I can't believe in the existence of good. Sidebar conversation, but it does play into Jennifer's Body because this band wants to make it big, and to make it big, they have to sacrifice a virgin. Jennifer is traumatized because they see a bar burn down. The band is kind of chill. It's fronted by an evil Adam Brody, who I think is hilarious in this role. This was with kind of one of the first things I saw of him outside of the OC. So to see him kind of playing this like very evil, menacing character, I thought was very interesting. That kind of like swarmy, like, oh, I'm from Brooklyn and I know what's cool. And like, I'm like a good guy, but like, you're actually like, I think he says he wants to be like an Adam Levine type. And I thought that was so funny because like, I feel like Adam Levine also made a deal with the devil.
Do you believe that the band set the fire on purpose?
Yeah. So what I do believe the band set the fire on purpose. What I believe happened was they were planning this massive ritual to sacrifice a virgin, and to kind of get that started, the catalyst for that, I think, was the bar burning down, because they needed to get her separated from her friends, and they needed her a little scared. So I do believe, I don't think they started it purposefully, but I do believe there was magic. I do believe that there were forces there that were like, yeah, we gotta do this, because it was too traumatic.
Yeah, I agree. I think their whole plot was for them to set this on fire and cause someone to be traumatized and take advantage of the trauma and then take them into their possession to do what they had to do.
Exactly. And I thought the whole thing was so funny how it kind of has like this perception of what like a hot small town girl is, right? Because we see the perception of Jennifer as like this hot small town girl, but she's very confident. She's very strong. We kind of see her toying with a lot of the other like boys or men in the bar. I mean, one thing I do want to talk about, she's in a bar, not 21, actively in high school. Everyone knows she's in high school. There's a cop that she makes a joke about dating. So it's like, okay, age difference there. The bartender gives her drinks because she's hot. Like, there's a lot of trauma, I think, with Jennifer that we don't really talk about. And I think a lot of it comes from her being so beautiful and so developed early on and so sexualized by all the men in this town. And to Adam Brody's point, if that happens sometimes in a small town, the girl pushes off the sexual advances and she keeps like her, and I'm using quotes, purity. She's a virgin still. And then, but in the sense of Jennifer, we see her actually using that sexuality and feeling free and like doing whatever she wants with it, sleeping with these guys. But then she ends up lying to the boys about being a virgin because she thinks that's what they want to hear. We kind of see the scene where Needy kind of interjects like, oh yeah, like my friend like is a virgin, like don't, like whatever you think, thinking she's protecting her, not knowing that they're playing into the hand that they want. Obviously, Jennifer not being a virgin, the sacrifice goes wrong. And to them, the sacrifice goes right because they still get famous. The bar burns down. They have a huge hit. They rally support in the town. And this is really catapulting this band's career. And then on the back end, we have Jennifer, who walks to Needy's house, vomits this like black stuff everywhere. And now we kind of see her. She's possessed, I would say. She's inhabited by something evil.
Yeah, from what they implemented in the book, it was a succubus.
Yeah.
Not a vampire. I heard someone say vampire. It was more of a succubus.
Yeah, and then for those of you who are unfamiliar with what a succubus is, a succubus is a mythological...
Yeah, it's a mythological creature.
Yeah, mythological demon. And a succubus typically takes form of a female, and they consume their male counterparts.
Yes. Yes, brutally.
Brutally. And that is a theme in Jennifer's body. So now Jennifer is a succubus in the body of a teenage girl. And what she is doing now is she realizes that she has to eat boys. Well, specifically right now, she's just eating boys to maintain her youthfulness and to maintain her prettiness and to maintain her energy and to maintain like her Jennifer checkness. So all these other deaths start happening, and Needy starts being like, something weird is going on here. Like, what's happening? Jennifer is acting weird. All these people are dying. So this town is just struck with tragedy, while Low Shoulder, the name of Adam Brody's band, sorry if I did not say it earlier, Low Shoulder, is just capitalizing off of it. They are having homecoming or spring fling or the big dance is coming. And these people are going to actually perform there. And Needy is kind of calling bullshit on all of this because she's like, this band didn't care. Like, the bar was burning down. They were trying to kidnap Jennifer. Like, this isn't the people that you think they are. And everyone in the town is kind of just like, oh, shut up, Needy. Like, you don't know. And Needy's like, I was literally there, you guys. Like, I'm one of the only people that survived.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, I think that happens a lot. Like, people, once they get something stuck in their mind, it's hard for them to, like, be swayed the other way. Like, if you think something, then you're like, no, this is how it is, and this is how it's going to be. And, you know, no matter what you say, even if you present the proof, a lot of people go, yeah, that's not true.
That's not true. And we see that in this town. So now Needy's kind of, now Needy and Jennifer's friendship is kind of on the rocks. Needy's noticing some weird things about Jennifer. And they kind of have like, they've kind of talked about how they kind of have like this like connection. And they call it sandbox love. But they like kind of have this like very like close connection where like Needy can feel things about Jennifer and Jennifer can sense things about Needy. That's why she goes to her right after she's possessed. So now Needy's figuring out what happened to Jennifer. She wants to kill the band, and she figures if she kills the band, she can save her friend. And then she realizes that she has to kill her friend. And she was still going to get retribution for the band because she hates him. But now Jennifer has set her sights on Needy's boyfriend, Chip. And Chip is kind of the like, oh, why do you let Jennifer push you around? You're so good, Needy. And then we kind of see like kind of like this like constant support for Needy, and we see Jennifer, I think, being jealous of that, and that's why she does go after Needy's boyfriend.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, I was kind of watching it, and when he kind of fell for it, and
of
was
course
going
he fell for
it.
For it.
I mean, you know, I mean, I was like, oh, she's good looking. I could see it. I mean, he's young. He, you know, he's got this good looking girl hitting on him now. You know, and Needy had broken up with him. So I was like,
Needy broke up with him to save him.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that. He thought it was bullcrap. I mean. You're sitting there, and he thought it was an excuse just to be rid of him, you know, because they just had sex, and he's like, well, we just had sex, and you were dumping me. She's like, I'm doing it to save you, and he's looking at her like, are you kidding? And, you know.
Well, like, during their sex scene, she did hallucinate a naked, bloody, succubus Jennifer looming over the bed.
Now, I don't think she was hallucinating. I think she was actually touched in, because at that point, she was killing the goth guy. Yeah, so I think, like you said before, they had that connection where they were feeling each other, and I thought she felt the death of that kid. And I think that's also how she knew he was with Chip.
Yeah.
When she was at the club and she saw Chip, and then she saw, well, not the club, the dance.
The prom, the dance, the social,
whatever it was. And she kind of looks and sees them. So yeah, I think that was like, it was interesting.
It was interesting. And I like that connection, because I think too, like, a lot of this film is about girlhood and they even say it, I think it's on the cover of the movie, it says, hell is a teenage girl. And I always thought that was so funny. So the movie comes to our final battle between Needy and Jennifer. We see Jennifer killing Chip, just ripping his throat out in the abandoned swimming pool. And then they start fighting each other. Jennifer starts levitating off the ground at some point. There's kind of this throwaway line where Jennifer's like, oh, I'm going to rip your heart out. And Needy goes, oh, I thought you only killed boys. And Jennifer goes, oh, I go both ways. This kind of like throwaway line, which I thought was really interesting, because throughout the film, there are a lot of these like underlining tones of like, oh, are Jennifer and Needy in love? Like, are they gay? There's a whole scene where they like make out. And like, it, so I thought that was really interesting. And I do believe that Jennifer is gay for the whole film.
Yeah, I think she was very sexually aware of herself, and I think she used men, but was actually gay.
Gay.
Yeah,
she was gay. Yeah. She was attracted to Needy, and she didn't know how to handle it, and she didn't know what to do with it, and I do believe, I agree with you 100%, 100%, Ben.
Yeah, she's like the abusive boyfriend, though.
She is like the abusive.
Like, when they're pushing each other, and she's like, Needy's just kidding, and then she, like, shoves her into the door real hard, and Needy looks at her like, why? You know, so... Yeah, she was like the abusive boyfriend.
She is like the abusive boyfriend, and she can do, and she felt like she could get away with that because systems were in place, because she's pretty and everyone likes her, that she could get away with it. So it's very interesting, and there are a lot of these dynamics in there of like, and then Jennifer dies and she's seen as a saint. Needy kills her. So they have this big battle. Jennifer kills Chip. They are fighting. Needy wounds Jennifer, so now Jennifer retreats back to her home. Needy breaks into her house and stabs her in the heart. Only way to kill her. But while she stabs her, she actually gets like scratched by Jennifer. And so, of course, in all mythological lore, since she is now scratched by the succubus, she now gets some powers of the succubus. So, of course, as we know, Needy is in an insane asylum in the beginning. And we see her levitating now that we know that she killed Jennifer. She gets a scratch that gives her powers. We see her levitating, and we see her escape because she has these powers. And then we see her, which I think is so cool. Now, did you watch all of the end credits?
Oh, 100%.
100%. You got it. You got it. So the movie actually ends with her walking, and you see a sign that says low shoulder, because it is a highway sign that you can have. It's a warning for the roads. And that's how the movie ends. And then in all the credit scenes, you see her breaking into the hotel. And then you see these, like, very, like, crazy crime photos of their dead bodies everywhere, because she just murders them in the hotel room. Because they have found monumental success, because the devil worked out for them, but he always comes to collect somehow.
Oh, 100%. Like, there's a part when she's in the insane asylum, and she says what the historians and lore followers don't understand is that anybody scratched or bitten by a succubus gains part of their
power.
So,
and that's so cool. And she then uses that power. So this movie, very kooky, very wild, very fun, very good though. Like, so I like this movie because I like the dynamic between Needy and Jennifer, being a teenage girl and having a lot of different female friendships. I did have some friendships that looked like this. I had a friendship, I would say, that looked very much like this. In high school, I would say my best friend, junior into senior year, we were very close. She was very popular, very beautiful, very rich, and she was able to get away with a lot. She was also incredibly smart. She was a great person. With that, she was also incredibly opinionated and temperamental. I would say I have a lot of, I see a lot of similarities. Obviously, me and this person are no longer friends. There was a big exploding bomb. Obviously, she didn't try to kill me and my boyfriend, but
yeah, understandable. But you know, I think like the movie was representing of a metaphoric killing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like it was more like, you know, Needy actually killed Jennifer, who was the one that like was keeping Needy down, and then she became empowered. You ever read what's it called? I'll think of it, but it's a book, and it's about these two boys, and one of the boys is popular and the other one's not, and he goes to jump off a tree and he shakes it, and the boy falls. And
A Separate Piece?
Yes!
I read A Separate Piece!
Yes, it kind of reminded me of that dynamic where, like, you know, Needy was the person that shook the guy off the tree and, you know, then knocked Jennifer off the tree to become, you know, stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and within that too, it's like Needy had to figure out, I think, a lot of things about herself. She kind of had to learn how to stand on her own. You see her being kind of like the, like, she's very, not to want to use her name to describe her, but she's being very needy. Needy's being needy. And I think Jennifer kind of plays on that. And I think too, like you had said, Needy is a lot of this way because of her development with Jennifer, because Jennifer always kept her down, no matter what. So I do really agree with that. I think this movie is very fun, though. Off air, we were kind of talking about some of the funny moments of this film. I think even though it is, I do consider it a horror comedy.
Oh, 100%. It was like, you know, like a Buffy the Vampire-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was good. If you watch it, you're going to like it. It's definitely got a lot of funny parts, especially when she's talking about, I told me you're a virgin. She's like, I'm not a virgin. My butt's not even a virgin.
I know. Yeah. I thought that was funny. Some things that I liked about it, like, and I think Diablo Cody, now I'm fully making this up, and I'm going to talk about more when I talk about Lisa Frankenstein, is I think Diablo Cody loves the movie The Heathers. I saw a lot of that in Lisa Frankenstein, but in this film specifically, there is a scene where Jennifer kills one of the football players because they're about to have this big memorial, and she's like, hey, like, I'm so sad, and like, one of the football stars died, and she's like, you know, before he died, like, he said we'd make such a great couple, like, totally bitchin', like, uses like all these like very funny words that like we know he wouldn't use, and she kills him in the woods, and then they find his body, and it's like kind of like this whole thing of like, oh, he killed himself because he was in love and he was like secretly gay, and then like you have the dad like screaming like, I love my dead gay son, and that just really reminded me of The Heathers, when the dad's like, it's the same kind of thing, like, football kid killed in the woods because he's gay, and he's like, I love my dead gay son, like, I love my gay son. I don't know, that I thought was very fun. A very fun callback to those who had seen The Heathers.
You know what a part I liked? When the goth kid was killed and the goth friends were like, oh, you're flying with the devil, you know, the angel. And the mother loses it. And like, for me, I always think about this. Like, I've lost both my parents, and at both my parents' funerals, I hated the fakeness of people, like going, oh, we were friends. Oh, I love. And I just stared at them, and I wanted to go off and be like, you know, you didn't even talk to my father or my mother until, you know, this happened. And then you come and you want to tell me how great they were, and you know nothing about them, you know. And then, you know, it was just like, for me, I was like, I could relate to that, because like I could see her explode, like, you know, the only thing that my son is dead. He's in this coffin, you know, and he was ripped apart and he looked like lasagna, you know. And I'm like laugh. I'm like trying not to laugh, because in my mind, I was like, you know, I could just see people doing this, like they really want to do this, you know, but you have to be respectable and, you know, honorable at awake, you know. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of people can understand that feeling inside when you know that the person doesn't like someone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's kind of that, like, yeah, like you said, it's that fakeness. It's that, like, pretend. It's that, like, okay, like, thank you for your condolences, but, like, I know you don't give a shit.
Yeah, 100%. Take your lasagna and go home.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, what's in this lasagna? Secrets, I don't know. Gossip, I don't know. But that's so true. This movie is very fun. Diablo Cody won an Oscar, actually, for Juno.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and I feel like the way that she writes, you have this, like, very distinctive, like, style in the way that she, like, uses, like, lingo. I mean, I think about it when it's like, oh, X out needy, you're such green jello. Like, it's like these, like, little kind of, like, weird isms that, like, you know that people don't speak like that. And I think it's very fun, because I think it's really cementing this kind of, like, place in film history. It's kind of like when we watch It Follows and they have the clamshell phone. It's like, we know that doesn't exist, but it's like very specific to that movie and that time.
Yeah, 100%. Like, when they were using those words, I was staring at them, and she's like, and then they explain it. She's like, well, this means this. And, you know, even the boys looking at her like, what? That doesn't mean that. You know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's so funny. And, like, I love when Jennifer, I think Jennifer's talking to Chip, and Chip's like, that doesn't make sense. And then Needy starts using some of those, like, words, and he's like, Needy, why are you being like this? Like, but I think it's true. Like, when you're around certain people, like, you adopt their mannerisms, like, whether you mean to or not. Me and my dad, we watch a lot of British TV shows. So sometimes when we speak, we end, yeah, at the end of our things. We're like, or right. We're like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, my mom's always like, where do you guys get that from? And my dad's like, oh, we just, like, watch a lot of British TV. So I think it's funny, because, like, you can see how, like, Chip really rejects Jennifer, but really embraces Needy, but then rejects those parts of Needy that are so influenced by Jennifer. And a point that Needy tries to make to Chip time and time again is that, like, Jennifer and I are one. Like, she influences me, I influence her. And, like, it goes back to that connection that they have, back to, like, that friendship that they started. And I think it's funny how Chip never sees that, and he rejects those parts of Needy. But then we see him embrace Jennifer, kind of, whether he is being seduced by her. But we do see him accept those parts of her. And I think that, too, is also another, like, betrayal for Needy.
Oh, 100%. Like, 100%. And she even says it. She goes, why would you do this to me? She's like, you had everything. You have everything. Why would you go after Chip? And she's like, I just wanted to.
Because she doesn't want Chip. Jennifer wants Needy, and Chip is the closest she can get. Like, yes.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, when they're kissing and everything on the bed, and you could tell, like, when Needy jumps up, like, Jennifer's, like, totally devastated. She's like, you know, what are you doing? And then she's like, you got to leave. And she's like, I got to leave. You know, she's like, what are you talking about? And I think she was like, you've always wanted this, and this is us right now being able to do this, and you're rejecting me, so.
But at the same point, like, she did just kill a bunch of people. And yeah, she did tell Needy about it.
You look over the little things that the people tell.
You look over the murder.
You look past the bad in people that you love. I mean, what's a murder between lovers? I mean,
what is it? But yeah, it's so true. I think it's very funny. The pedestal that everyone puts Jennifer on, but Jennifer also puts herself on that same pedestal. We kind of see it when she's talking about being tired, because she hasn't, like, eaten in a little bit. And she's like, oh, I look like the regular girls. Like, my skin is breaking out and I'm tired and I'm blotchy and, like, I don't feel good. And Needy's like, oh, like, you can kind of see that Jennifer does think that she is above everybody, because she's been told that her whole life.
Yeah, but you see that in a lot in, like, no offense to actors and actresses, but you see that a lot in them, because they get that, the liposuction, and they get all this, you know, plastic surgeries to try and maintain that look, because they don't want it to go away. They want to remain that way forever. They want people to, like, adore them and love them for the beauty that they are, but they're no longer beautiful. You know, yeah. they start looking really pathetic, like sadly, like plastic. I mean, I know a couple of actresses right now that I used to love as a kid. I was like, oh my God, they're so beautiful and gorgeous. And then they got all this like plastic surgery. And now they look like, you know, weird.
Plastic surgery is crazy. I would say, especially now with like fillers and like threadings and like threads and like all this stuff, it's like, it's a lot. I will never judge anyone for getting plastic surgery. I just don't believe it looks good.
No, that's my thing. I don't, you know, you do you. I mean, that's the thing, you know, dare to be different. Do whatever you want to do. I just don't think it looks good.
Exactly. But do I think killing boys to maintain youthfulness looks good? Yes. Holistic. Healthy.
Worked throughout history. I mean, there's succubuses throughout history, so something had to be going on.
Succubuses throughout history. Praying mantises actually also behead the male species after they procreate
Black
with them.
Black widow spiders.
Black widow spiders. There is a lot. Madam Butterfly. I don't know. Like,
we're not giving any ideas here. Please.
We are giving ideas. Yes. Kill your boyfriends. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Ouch.
I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Unless you can get away with it. No, I'm sorry.
Don't listen to true crime stuff.
But no, this movie's great. I own this movie. So like this, I will say this movie has a very big place in my heart. I do love it. I love the campiness of it. I love the over-the-topness. I love Diablo Cody's, and I do love the language. Like a lot of it's tough to get through, but I do think it's fun, and I think it's very like much her like footprint. So I own this movie. So I did not have to watch it or find it streaming. Ben, where did you watch it?
I want to say Peacock.
Okay, Peacock.
No, I actually had to rent it on Vudu.
Okay, yes. Rent it.
Yeah, I had to rent it on Vudu. I saw the other one on Peacock.
Yes. Lisa Frankenstein is on Peacock, and we will be talking about that movie next. So sorry if you guys are not like me and you don't own physical media of Jennifer's Body. Please rent it. I think it was worth it.
Oh, 100%. Good rental. You can watch it. It was fun. A lot of jokes, a lot of funny parts. You know, like I said, if you're a fan of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and movies like that, like, you know, the gothic kills and things, then you're going to love Jennifer's Body.
You are. And who doesn't love to watch a teenage girl kill?
Right? It's like in the DNA.
Heathers. DNA.
I mean, that's what it is.
Ginger snaps, Jawbreaker. So I do want to talk about some versions of this movie, not versions of this movie, but like this kind of like idea of like lady teen killers, right? We're about to cover Lisa Frankenstein coming up, also written by Diablo Cody, not directed by her, though. So that's going to be a fun thing to kind of talk about. But we've also touched on the Heathers, which I think is probably some of the biggest inspiration. Another one that I think is a crazy inspiration. Now, tell me if you've seen this movie. It's from the 90s. It's called Jawbreaker.
No, I haven't.
Okay. I do see a lot of Jawbreaker influence in a lot of like these like teen movies about girls coming together. Do you ever see Sugar and Spice?
Still a no.
Okay. So Sugar and Spice is a little different because they rob grocery stores, which is very funny. And we can talk about that movie later if you want. But I do think like Heathers and Jawbreaker are two of this, like these movies that talk about like popularity and killing for being popular and what does it mean to be popular. And I think a lot of things come from that. And Jennifer's Body, I think, is a perfect example.
Yeah, I agree. And like this, like in today's society, like people do that all the time. Like, you know, the cheerleader mothers that kill for the competition.
Oh, yeah.
Or the model models that kill. I mean, there's always something like that. You know, you want to strive your children to be the best, but you take it to the limit that it shouldn't have to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I don't know. And I think, too, it's like where do we go for success? Where do we go for possession? Where do we go to protect what we love? Obviously, needy to protect what she thought she loved, she had to kill Jennifer.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was like she knew that it wasn't actually Jennifer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knew it was the monster because like there were certain things that Jennifer wouldn't do. I mean, Jennifer was...
I don't know. Jennifer would do a lot.
Yeah, she was totally egotistical, but I think there was some things like even she wouldn't do. And like, especially after the burning, she's like, why are you talking like this? Like, oh, well, they're dead. You know, and she was like,
yeah, she was very like nonchalant.
Yeah, non-sympathetic. She was like, you know, and she was like, you would never be talk like this. And so I think there was some parts you could tell that wasn't actually Jennifer.
Agree. Okay. Agree. I absolutely agree. Please watch this movie, guys. Hell is a teenage girl, and girls don't get any better. It's coming from a 30-year-old teenage girl. But watch it. It's fun. I love to throw this movie on whenever I can. Like I said, we're going to be covering another Diablo Cody movie next, so stick around if you like her. Ben?
Subscribe, follow, and like. Just like join Pod of a Family. Get on there.
Yeah. We do what we do because of you guys. Thank you for all the constant support. And catch us next time on What's Happening.